We now have the Bible reading from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 19.
Deuteronomy chapter 26, first fruits and tithes. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as the dwelling for his name. And say to the priest in the office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, the Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you finish setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you've commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us as you promised on oath to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. Follow the Lord's commands. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in obedience to him, that you will keep his decrees, commands, and laws, that you will listen to him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised. and that you are to keep all his commands. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised.
Well, thank you, Megan, for leading our worship, and for music groups for helping us in our worship. Well, we come to the last piece of the middle section of Deuteronomy. So I'm going to do a summary next week of everything we've done in the last 13 weeks. So bring your packed lunch. It'll be a good one. Okay. But here we are. We're applying the covenant. We're looking through Deuteronomy. And this middle section I best describe as applying the covenant. You know, the agreement between you and God. Or them and God, as it was then. Deuteronomy 26, if you read it, when it fits in right at the end of this whole section of applying the covenant. This is how do you respond to this great agreement you've got between you and God. It's the final part of this section on applying the covenant, and it gives some of the most practical guidelines to the response God is looking for from his people. You might think, God wants me to grovel. He doesn't. You might think, God wants you to live your life and enjoy yourself. He doesn't want to do that either. He wants you to respond to his presence. This is, what is God looking for? This chapter is unique because it gives an insight into Jewish liturgy at two different feasts. You don't get that anywhere else. This is the first time it's really mentioned. And we're in Deuteronomy. There's no laid down formula for meeting with God until this point. That's surprising, isn't it? Because everywhere else, it's just reporting encounters with God. And they happen all over the place. Different places, different situations. Burning bushes is one. Up a mountain, another. Where do you meet with God? And here it says, here's how to respond. Come before him. Come before him at first fruits. Come before him when it's tithing time. This is what happened, what they said, and what they did when they came to worship. So it gives us insights into how we should come to worship, I think. And you will probably notice, or you probably didn't notice, that it is worship without guilt. Not once does it say, oh Lord, forgive me because I am a miserable sinner and I fall short. Oh, what a terrible person I am. It doesn't say that. Aren't you pleased that worship is not groveling? Worship is encountering. I mean, imagine coming up to someone and every time you came up to them, you came up to them in fear and trembling and doubt whether you were going to be accepted or not, and therefore had to bow down and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What kind of relationship is that? And yet in Deuteronomy 26, that does not happen. They come before them with a basket of their own stuff, and they give it to the priest. And it's all about God and what he's done for them. And what comes out of this is just gratitude. There's no confession of sin, of falling short of God's commands, because they are doing what God requires of them in coming together, bringing the right gifts and worshiping God. And their worship is in the form of this. I have done what you asked me. I have done what you asked of me. That is your and my true worship. Not our songs, not our promises. It's hearing God's voice say to you, do something, and you do it. Simple as that. That's your worship. And then you can come before God without guilt and say, I've done it. You asked me to give, I gave. You asked me to pray, I prayed. You asked me to read, I read. That's my worship. Listening to God's voice and doing it. So worship that is pleasing to God remembers the journey with humility. If you look through these verses, we can block them off into sections. It acknowledges God's generosity, not yours. Not, oh, haven't I done great? If you read this passage, you will see that it is God that it is at center, not the person. And when you do worship, it's God's activity that needs to be lifted up, not yours. It acknowledges his generosity. It recalls his faithfulness. You know, God has been good to us in the past. It honors his uniqueness in verse 10. It obeys his commands in verses 11 to 15. And it affirms his truth. All of that remembering focuses on God and what he has done and revealed of himself. When it comes to worship, it's not about you. It's about God being active in your world. So it remembers the journey with humility. Now you're beginning to worship. Where have I come from? What's been my experience? I love that story you began with, Megan. It was just great. This is what happened to me when I decided to lay my worries on God. And now I can come back and tell you, God is the keeper of promises. God is the giver of peace. That's my experience. What's your experience of God? It comes in those moments of quiet obedience when he reveals himself to you. Not only does it remember the journey with humility, it brings gifts of thanksgiving. Offerings to God. Not to appease an angry God, but to bring him the, you know, just some of the fruit of your life. And just bring it before him. The first fruits were there. Yeah, were just that. I can see more coming, God, but I'm going to gather the first bit and I'm not even going to taste it. I'm going to bring it to you. You can have this. I can see there's more coming on the trees. I can see there's more coming out of the ground. But these I trust you for. So I'm not even going to taste them. I'm going to give them to you as a gift, acknowledging that you are the God of the harvest, that you are the God of promises, that said seed time and harvest will never fail. So I'm bringing these to you. You get the first basket, the first apple from the tree, the first olives, the first lemon, the first dates, as a sign of my trust and gratitude. For you gave me the rains. You caused the sunshine. You gave the land. You gave me my life. First fruits. And that's what he says. How's that for an attitude before you worship? Acknowledging that God has been active. And tithes were giving a tenth of everything to God. They came from Egypt, by the way, where Pharaoh asked for 20%. Most kings around there asked for 10%. So 10% was sort of acknowledging your king. So here, 10% was acknowledging that their God was their king. But this 10% was not given for God's personal glory, but to raise the poor and acknowledge the priest. It is there and it's given so that we could do that. And this worship that is pleasing to God is open to God's leading. It's not just about reading what happened back then. In this passage, it talks about, you have called me to obedience to your ways. You have given me your purposes and plans, and I'm open to your promises today and your promptings today. Worship is not to tell God that your sins are acceptable and excusable. It's to acknowledge that God's words to you are right, and it's you that has to change. Now will you worship? It's not me. It's not God, it's me. I'm out of kilter with his kingdom, not the other way around. So God's call comes to a worship that is pleasing to God. This is what Moses, after 40 years of leading them, after 40 years of leading them as a nation, he comes to them and he preaches to them and he says, you know what's really important? This is important. That you come before God with your gifts and you acknowledge who your God is. And before you think, oh, well, yeah, that's all right for everybody else, but I'm different. In this passage, you'll find that God calls for personal worship. If you read the text, it actually says, you've got to say something when you come before God. Don't leave it to other people. You've got to stand there and you've got to say, I declare. Have you read it? It's in Deuteronomy 26. You've got to stand there and say, I declare. I declare what God has done. He has been generous in revelation to my ancestors. I am part of a special people. That's what they were saying back then. Not everyone has what we have. I am part of a people God rescued from slavery. I am part of a people who encountered God. I am from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the line of faith. Something that we can repeat as part of the body of Christ. I am privileged that Christ has been revealed to me. As a Christian, that's what I can say. I am part of God's people, engrafted into the line of faith through the work of Christ. I am privileged to be part of God's plan because Christ has been revealed to me. And in humility, I let him in. I accepted the work of Christ. And he anointed me with his Spirit. I declare what God has done. Not everyone has these things, but I do. God has been generous in my heritage. He made promises to my forefathers. They gave their allegiance to God on the promise of freedom from slavery and the promise of a land of blessing and the promise of rest to come. They didn't get it and they worshiped God just on the promise. I've got those promises. They've been fulfilled, says the worshiper in Deuteronomy 26. Here I am in the land out of slavery, bringing my gifts. How much more can we do now when we worship? They were promised a redeemer. And they lived on that promise for a couple of thousand years. A redeemer's coming. A redeemer's coming. And we can say, I know who he is. He died on a cross. How much more should we be bringing our baskets and putting them before God and rejoicing in what he's done? I don't want to lay guilt on you here. I'm just saying to you, look, we've got more. And therefore, you should be the happiest people in the world. Dancing because God has set you free. Given you a place in the world. Given you the freedom to know that you're going to heaven in Christ. Dance, rejoice, worship. Not out of guilt, but because God has done it for you. He's been generous. They were there at this altar. And said, I declare that the promises have been fulfilled. I have reaped the blessings of God's gracious promises to previous generations. I've got the land. And we can say, I have received mercy and peace. I am privileged to receive the Holy Spirit. I am here today because of God's promises through the prophets have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I stand before God without guilt. because Jesus died for me and rose again. And I'm standing on those promises. Wow. I declare what God has done. I declare where I fit in. I am the inheritor of promises fulfilled by God. He has been gracious to me since then. He has been generous to me through providing seasonal rain and sunshine. And I bring the first fruits as a sign of trust for the rest of the crop coming to fruition. And I want to pass on that blessing through faithful obedience to God's word. I want my next generation to receive my lot and more. I want to acknowledge my provider, my protector, and his promise of a redeemer. For my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren. I want to be in the line of faith. And I bring gifts of appreciation. I have come with gifts of appreciation. I have not earned this. God has been gracious to me, and I'm just giving back a little bit. An acknowledgement of who's in charge. And I share with the poor and the priest. I find it amazing that when God says, bring gifts to me, he then doesn't take them himself. I mean, he doesn't need them, does he? God is God. If he wants a sandwich, he can make his own. Can't he? He doesn't need, he can make it out of nothing. He doesn't need our gifts. And the Bible acknowledges that God doesn't need our gifts. The reason he asks us to give is to make sure that your heart is changed towards others. Who are the gifts for? Well, they're for the poor and the priests. And it says this, Christians, it's for the aliens. You know, that's those lot out there. Anglicans and stuff. No, I don't mean that. Okay. It's only because I spotted an Anglican in here. I thought, oh, I'll do that, yeah. It's given to the poor and the priests. Why? It's given to the people that do not belong to us as a sharing of our generosity. God has given us so much. You know, I'm going to share it with the mums at the Ark. I'm going to share it with the Boys Brigade boys. I'm going to share it with Tensing and all that lot. I'm going to share it with people at the bus stop. I'm going to just be a generous person. And they're going to go, what's wrong with you? And you can say, God has given me so much. I want to share it. What a testimony that is. Generosity when everyone else is greedy. But giving it is saying, I remember where I came from and what I was. And I bring gifts to help others rise. See, I was in slavery, says the man in Deuteronomy 26, and now I am free. I was in hard times, and now I am in a land of milk and honey. I was a wandering Aramean, and now I have a land of my own because of what God has done. And therefore, I bring these gifts. I share with the poor and the priest. I came from wandering nomads to a land I can call home. I came from a place of shortage to one of abundance. I came from slavery to freedom. I came from God being far off to God being here. To the poor, I was once where you are, and I want you to rise in God's grace. And to the priest, I acknowledge that God speaks through you and I respect your calling. This is the God we have, a God who asks for your personal worship and who wants to honor you. It's not you groveling. God wants to honor you. Look at verses 16 onwards. You are his people. That's what it says. You are secure. If you read these verses, it comes across like he's a very proud parent. You know what that's like? Well, if you're a parent, you know, don't you? When your child does something amazing, like walks for the first time, oh, look at that. Or when they say their first few words, oh, listen to that, genius. Or they jump for the first time, athlete. They're going to be amazing, aren't they? And you're constantly looking. This is God looking at you. That's what he does when he gets excited. When he watches you grow into the person you are intended to be. You are secure because you are his people. You are loved. Read those verses. He wants to set you in praise. He wants to show you to the world. And you are privileged. He wants to honor you above other people groups. That was back then with these Jews. How much more so when you accept his son? He wants to honor you. Say, well done. And you are dedicated. He wants to set you apart as a holy people. How much more are we secure and loved and privileged and set apart in Christ? Now, if I'd done this right, you'd all be worshiping now. You'd all be saying, wow, what a God. How stupid have I been to miss this out? I just want to worship and say to God, thank you. Well done. And I'll do better. I want to follow your commands. I want to obey you because the benefits of what you've already done. But obviously I haven't done that. It's to point you to worship, not to guilt. To say, this is what Jesus has done for you now. So set yourself free. And honor him in spirit and in truth. These things should make you rise and give thanks and look forward in hope. Now let's worship the God who loves us. Worship in the open air, just on your own. Take in all that God is doing. Or bow down with open hands indoors and give him thanks and praise. Or maybe come together in a small group and just say, wow, my God has been good. Maybe come together in a big crowd and concentrate on what God has done. Maybe come before him in dazzling lights. Have one of those worship extravaganzas where we all come together. And the center of that is not us, it's him. And if you can't afford the dazzling lights, well, maybe just in a congregation, in a church. Maybe with hands lifted high, you come before God. And it's about him, not you. Or maybe it's on your own, on bended knee. In this passage, it talks about people standing before the altar. But that's not the only form of worship. Others worshiped by kneeling before him, lying prostrate on the ground before him. You'll know because you are led by the Spirit. Or maybe it's alone in the dusk of your life. You just wander to one side. See, it's not the place or the people that are important. It's connecting with the God who loves us. That is worship. Shall we pray together?